Greet you this morning in the precious name of Jesus. Trust that your hearts have been blessed already through the study of the scriptures. Certainly inspirational again and again to gather in and ponder what is shared and again be refreshed and strengthened and encouraged. Do you think there of how God blessed them in that victory that day against Midian? And if you do the math in that setting, it's amazing what all happened. Over 750,000 animals were carried back. I just can't imagine that. 808,000 animals taken back from that country. And their offering that they gave was like 500 pounds of gold. We'll put that in today's money. That's millions. That was their offering. And it makes me think of the verse there in Corinthians, how God is able to do more than we can think. He's the sufficiency of our God. I guess I should almost turn there to read that verse, if I can find it right offhand. I guess I'm letting my mind slip where it is. Terms of that. It's chapter 12. Anyhow, I don't see it right now. We're blessed with the sufficiency of our God and how He is able to do more than we think again and again. Meet our needs. I would like to read from Ephesians 5 this morning. Those familiar verses, starting at verse 19. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. And He is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it, that He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that He might present it to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery. But I speak concerning Christ in the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Title of the message, Sacrifice and Submission, the Bond of Marriage. We know that in the world around us, over 50% of the marriages end in divorce. Why? Why? We know this morning that it is possible for people inside our Mennonite circles to be couples that are merely existing instead of couples that God's blessing is on their lives and there's love and respect one for another. There's sacrifice and submission happening in those homes. I wish I didn't have to say that, but it's so true. We have teaching. We have the Word of God. We have the Spirit of God to work in our hearts. But unless this morning we understand that there is no man more full of him. How did I word that? More empty than the man who is full of himself, okay? There's no man more empty than the man who is full of himself, and is so much, so very true in our homes, in our marriages. There must be sacrifice and submission in order for there to be a home where relationships are the way God would have it. I'd like to read a little poem. Does Jesus live at your house? Does Jesus live at your house? I heard a child once ask. Her little brow was furrowed as she struggled with the task. I saw her eyes were shadowed, her face marked with a tear, the voice a wee bit wistful for the answer she might hear. He used to live at our house with Mama, Papa too, but now he's gone away somewhere. I don't know what to do, for Papa's not the same today, and Mama laughs no more. They never bother much with me. They say I'm just a bore. It didn't used to be this way with Jesus in our home, for every night my Papa came when all my cares were met to help me say my bedtime prayer, and Mama helped me too. And then they'd smile and tuck me in, but now they never do. Could you tell me where Jesus is? For everything seems black. We want him in our house again. We want him to come back. And when he comes, we'll keep him, for we truly need him so. If Jesus lives at your house, oh, don't ever let him go. The child then turned and left me while I pursued my way and thought of many home fires that could be bright today. Does Jesus live at your house? How much these words portend. Yea, on this question's answer, our hopes are all depend. You see, the passage I just read put us our focus on Christ as the one we must follow in order to become like him. And today, as I think of the sacrifice that Jesus made for me and the sacrifice that Jesus made for all the world and his continual sacrifice, his intercessory work, his love for the church and his doing everything he can for the church and his goal to receive the church without spot and blameless, my heart is touched. Because the goal of my life as a husband is to sacrifice for my wife and to lead out and be the husband that I should be in our home. I remember years ago working at a place where we were remodeling, well, we were sort of adding on to their house, so the people were there in our framing business. And one day, the little four-year-old came out the door, and the father came out with some very harsh words, and a scene took place that was far from Christian, even though they claimed to be Christian. And it tore my heart up to see what was happening. And then, as time went on, and the years came and some individuals were there at our church. And the father turned back and following of God. And scenes took place where you could look on the lives of those children and you could see the fear and turmoil in the life of a 5 and 6 year old, not knowing what Papa would do next. And it tore my heart up. Because God came to set us free from such things. God came to show us a better way. Sacrifice and submission, the bond of marriage. This morning, when you look on such scenes, I'm sure sometimes it makes you almost angry inside. You feel that anger rise. And you also wish you could step in and help restore peace in those settings. And there's only so much we can do. We try. We do what we can. But without the Spirit of God to work and restore and bless, there's only so far we can go. And I just know that one of the best things we can do is continue to pray for the well-being of one another. Each of us. The devil this morning is targeting the home. He wants to destroy every home. Not just some. He wants every home. He wants every couple to not be in unity, in harmonious relationship. He wants to win in every parent-child relationship. And it's his goal to destroy that. Harmonious marriages don't just happen. They don't just happen. They require sacrifice and submission. And most of all, submission to the one who is the head of us, our God. Does the Bible give clear direction for couples and how they can get along? Yes, it does. And I'm glad for this passage here, and I'm glad for many other passages throughout the Scripture. This morning, as we think of this subject, sacrifice and submission, the bond of marriage, it would be interesting to ask how many of you as couples have never had any differences to work through. Any hands want to raise? Maybe you don't feel like you've had a lot to work through, or maybe you feel like you've had a lot to work through. I don't know where you've been. But I'm here this morning to say that God's way works. God's way works. I'm here this morning to say that we can have harmonious, happy relationships in marriage because of God, because of His goodness to us. And when that is happening, it is a blessing. Someone has said a Christian home is earth's sweetest picture of heaven. I like that. I like that quote. A Christian home is earth's sweetest picture of heaven. If the rising generation formed their opinions of married life by viewing your marriage, what kind of opinions do you think they would have? What kind of opinions do you think they would have? What is the Bible recipe for a solid marriage? I'd just like to look at a few other references. Let's turn back to Genesis 2. The Bible recipe for a solid marriage. Genesis chapter 2, verse 23. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." This idea of leave and cleave, that's a Bible principle. For a solid marriage, a Bible recipe, leave and cleave. It's a challenge for those who are older, who are parents, when their children start leaving, that we let them leave and that we don't try to step in there and run their home. We must let them leave. We can give them encouragement, but we're not the ones in charge of that home. God is there to work in their lives and build a solid marriage in that. Psalm 127, verse 1, "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain." Bible recipe for a solid marriage is let the Lord build your house. Let the Lord build your house. Go to Him for direction. 1 Corinthians 7, another verse in Scripture, gives a Bible recipe for a solid marriage. And this is a could be a message in just itself. 1 Corinthians 7, verse 3. "Let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence, and likewise also the wife unto the husband." That's a powerful verse. That's a powerful verse. Let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence. Kindness. Acts of kindness in reaching out to your wife. Due kindness that is due her. And you know what? What you send out usually comes back. It's a reciprocating effect. It's amazing how that works. We know it every day. Talk angrily, usually you get an angry response. Talk kindly, and usually it's more of a kind response. And when you start putting into the life of your partner those good things, those things that encourage, those things that build, those things that strengthen, it comes back. Comes back. Let the husband render due benevolence. Render due benevolence one to another. That's a Bible recipe for a solid marriage. Render due benevolence one to another. In the verse we just read in Ephesians 5 and verse 33, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Husbands, love. Wives, reverence. Again, I quote, a broken home is the world's greatest wreck. I guess I hadn't read it as such already, but a broken home is the world's greatest wreck. So sad, because the influences do not stop with that home. They go on and continue to reverberate right on in time. Sacrifice and submission, the bond of marriage. What are we thinking of by the word bond? The thing that binds or unites, when we think of using a bond to hold this glue top here together, often there's glue in there and it's squeezed together with a clamp, and the glue is left to dry to help hold the wood together. It's the binding agent. It's the agent that helps hold those pieces of wood together so you can have a nice top. The word bond, it's the glue, the bond of marriage. Also, it's a binding agreement when you think of a bond of marriage, a binding agreement, the vows that were shared when you were married, those of you who are. In order to be united, we will need to blend together in a harmonious way. Couples will need to blend together in a harmonious way. And I would like to just name 7 points here this morning. And for the sake of an acrostic, I like acrostics. And if you listen to me preach long, you'll hear me share them a number of times. It's probably because it helps me as a preacher start and think and ponder. And also, it gives me a basis to spring from. But then it's a little word you can remember, all right? This word harmony. I'm going to take the word harmony this morning, and I'm going to put 7 points in terms of harmony. If you want sacrifice and submission, the bond of marriage, what is going to be needed in order for there to be a blending and harmonious marriage? Number one, for the letter H, you're going to need to humbly serve in your God-given role. Humbly serve in your God-given role. For husbands, this spells sacrifice. That's what the scripture teaches. Colossians 3 and verse 19. What does he say over there in Colossians 3:19? Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Part of the sacrifice that is laid on the head of the husband is to be the breadwinner. And we find that back in, starting right there in Genesis 3. God told Adam, he says, by the sweat of thy brow thou shalt earn thy bread. He's supposed to go out and be one who provides. And remember, the finances are not yours and hers. They're ours. They're ours. We get that confused. I mean, I get amazed how we relate it. I mean, how different people we build for in the world and how they talk in terms of that. They're ours. Do you give your wife sufficient money for the household needs, or do you limit her spending and yet spend lavishly on yourself? Question mark for you. If the finances are ours, then try not, you should provide what your wife needs for the household. Beyond maybe. And not spend lavishly on your own wants. That's not true sacrifice. In order to humbly serve in your God-given role, you need to provide stable leadership in your home. Do your part as a husband in keeping household order. What do you do when you're at home in the evening after work and the children need direction? Is it only on the wife's part? I don't like to see that. I know what it's like to come home and be tired, and I'm not saying every day you can perform to the same level. And maybe some of you are around the house all day and bump in and out. I've never been blessed to have a job that way. But remember, we're partners in this, okay? You're partners in this, and the job of the husband is to lead out in a spiritual way. Endeavor to meet the emotional needs of your spouse and your children. And one of the ways you do that, or several of the ways you do that, is show love. Show love. You want to meet the emotional needs of your wife and your children? Show them you love them. Show them you love them. Tell them you love them. Tell them they are special to you. Lead them to the living waters by example, by family worship, by attending church. All these things are important. If you care about God-given responsibility placed on your shoulders as a husband, you will care about the spiritual and emotional needs of your family. Lead them to the living waters. I'm blessed today to have had a father that I knew where he would be in the morning when he first got up. He went to his study, and without fail, he was there every morning. That was my father. I was blessed to have had a father that cared about the spiritual well-being of his family. I don't remember a day when we missed family worship. That was the kind of father I had. Now, you might not have had a father like that. I'm not here to lift up my father above anyone else. I'm here saying this morning, it's in your lap as husbands to make the choice to be the spiritual leader in your home. And if you're going to be the spiritual leader in your home, you're going to have to feed yourself spiritually first. So important. So important. As I think of humbly serve in your God-given role, for the wives, submit. They're over there in Colossians 3. How does he word it? Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. As it is fit in the Lord. This will affect the attitudes behind the actions. You know, as you relate as a couple and you work through differences that come along in your life. You know, what if your husband likes raisins in his oatmeal, but you think that's sort of yuck? You know, we work through little simple things like that. Doesn't mean you have to always make it the way he likes it. But you know, the point is, are we endeavoring to please one another? Are we endeavoring to do what we can for our partner? True submission goes deeper than outward actions, but will affect inward attitudes. It will affect inward attitudes. Sarah called Abraham Lord. The scripture brings that up in 1 Peter 3. Sarah called Abraham Lord. You know, and she had to relate to a Lord who, when those men came along that day, all of a sudden came in and said, "Hey, we're keeping guests here today." And he scurried about with her to help feed those men that came along. I don't know what your husband's like if he invites guests to your house the last minute. But are you ready to do what you can and make ready? She says of Sarah, she made ready quickly. She made ready quickly. Many aspects in terms of that. But humbly serve in your God-given role. Humbly serve in your God-given role. A lot can be said in terms of that. Just remember that point. Humbly serve in your God-given role. For the letter A, accept one another's limitations. Back to that verse in 1 Corinthians 7, to render due benevolence. Render due benevolence. Accept one another's limitations. Husbands, don't make your wives keep the house spotless when children constantly make this almost impossible, especially with little children. Don't hold your wife to a standard that can't be achieved. Render due benevolence. Think about what's going on. Just one little small area. Maybe you feel like your wife keeps it too spotless. I don't know how the situation is in your home. Wives, don't bring up the broken wheelbarrow and demand an instant fix when the day's work has left your husband totally exhausted. You know, there has to be a working together in these small areas where we render due benevolence. We recognize the limitations of our partner and we don't hold them to something they can't even accomplish. Enough said in terms of that, but accept one another's limitations. Respect one another's makeup. Husbands, don't forget your wife's birthday card or forget your anniversary. Why? The woman's makeup's involved right there. Relationships, that's what it's all about. And your wife, she's hurt when you forget about these important days of relationship. It's part of a makeup. Remembering one another's makeup. And by the way, I hadn't forgot my wife's birthday was tomorrow. You didn't need to remind me here this morning. But I'm glad to tell her happy birthday. Don't forget to say thank you. Just because you live together every day does not mean you can throw away these kind words and just take everything for granted. Tell your wife thank you for every meal you sit down to. Tell your wife thank you. Tell your wife thank you for washing the clothes and they're there in the drawer ready for you. These are just simple little things you can do that express respect for one another. Don't forget to help carry the pocketbook or whatever your wife's hands are filled with when, you know, there's more than she can carry. Help her. Help her. And by all means, don't forget to say, I love you. Don't let a day go by without that. Don't forget to say, I love you. Don't demand more of your wife than she can handle. She is not a superwoman. Even though I'm sure you think she's a great woman, she's not a superwoman. Don't demand more of your wife than she can handle. Maybe I'm a little harder on this side of the house. It's a little easier to speak to this side than that side. I appreciate my wife. I'm glad for all she does for me. Again and again, such a blessing to have a Christian wife. But respect one another's makeup. For the letter M, maintain family loyalty. I pity the couple where I hear either spouse railing on their spouse in public. I said, I pity the couple where I hear either spouse railing on their spouse in public. That is not maintaining family loyalty. Samson's wife did that to him. And we know what kind of marriage relationship they had. Didn't last, did it? Didn't last at all. Accept your living standards and live within your means. You don't have to keep up with the Joneses or whoever should be put there. You don't have to. Appreciate the simple things of life and continue to go on and accept the living standards that God has put within your means and live that way. Live contentedly. Live happily. Maintain family loyalty. This will involve honesty. You know, Abigail, even though she maintained loyalty to Nabal, or family loyalty, she was honest. She identified her husband's wrongdoing, but sought his best welfare in spite of this. I'm not talking about family loyalty that hides wrongdoing, not that you expose it. She wasn't out there to expose it, but she was willing to see through where her husband was failing and was doing what she can to help in regards to that. And it made a big difference that day in David's life. It helped some things not happen because she was a wise woman. She was a very wise woman. And then she didn't do it without telling him at the proper time. She told her husband what she had done. That story is a real amazing story to me as I read through there. And I see the wisdom of that woman. And I can, you know, how did she relate to such a husband? How did she put up with him for years and years? Maybe she didn't even have a lot of choice back there in who she married. I don't know how their setting was totally. But nonetheless, here she was married to this man. And though he was rich, yet he was quite a man. And yet she had, in the midst of that circumstance she found herself in, she found a way to be a woman of God, even in that circumstance. And I want to hold that up here this morning. You don't have to have the perfect partner in order to be a woman or a man of God, okay? The importance is to shine for God in spite of who you are married to and their weaknesses. Maybe he had been a real nice man when he was younger and something had entered his life. Bitterness had entered his life and there he was. I have no clue. The story doesn't say it all. But nonetheless, she lived honestly and sought the best welfare of the family in spite of what was happening. And those are tough situations, very tough situations to relate to. For the letter O, going to have harmony in marriage. Every couple must offer apologies sincerely and offer forgiveness readily. I have had to tell my wife I'm sorry. I've had to tell my children I'm sorry. I wish I could tell you it only happened once, but I've had to do it more than once. It is not manly to not say I'm sorry. Did you catch that, men? It is not manly to not say I'm sorry. In fact, I have found when I've been humble enough to share my apology, it has only helped relationships. It strengthens relationships. I'm sorry I hurt your feelings. Or I'm sorry I'm so late for supper. I'm sorry I didn't ask your advice on this before I did it. Please, couples, please don't let the little things, the grudges, ruin your marriage relationships. But rather be willing enough to humble your heart and say, I'm sorry, and offer forgiveness. Ephesians 4:32, like we talked about the other night, applies in marriages, applies in home life. For the letter N, nourish and cherish loving relationships. I like the way he says it there in verse 29 of Ephesians 5. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, just like Jesus does for the church. And so, do that. Nourish and cherish loving relationships. You know, when something's precious to you, you hold a high price tag on it. It's precious. You don't want it to be destroyed. You want to continue to preserve it. And one of the ways you can help nourish, or a number of ways we can help nourish and cherish loving relationships. Smiles of approval of the clean wash pile. You know, these are things I like to see happening. A welcome home greeting at the door. A man who still opens the car door. Now, I'm not saying you have to do that. That's something I've chosen to do for my wife ever since I got to date her. A man who still opens the car door. A man who can help with the dishes. A note of appreciation slipped in the lunchbox. A bouquet of wildflowers brought to your wife to put on the windowsill. A heartfelt questioning of concern by a phone call, etc. You know, we're blessed today with communication. We can communicate throughout the day. When I first went to work, I didn't have a phone with me. I left home in the morning, got home in the evening. You know, didn't have any communication, means of communication while I was at work. Now, if I'm going to be late, it's not hard for me to just let my wife know there's something come up, I'm going to be 15 minutes late. You know, it's that simple. And it, you know, it means a lot to her. I let her know. Nourish and cherish loving relationships. And I like you to just think about it. Can you put 10 things down that you would like to do, you like done for you, and reverse that? Or just stop and think about it. You know, things, ways you can bless your partner. If we don't ponder it, we won't do it. Ways you can bless your partner. Ways you can enrich their life. Things you can do that show you love them. A smile is so easily done. But you know, smiles just change the whole day. Smiles just change the whole day. Just simple smiles. For the letter Y. Yield yourselves to God's purpose and plans for your lives. What does God want to do with your home? How does God want your home to reach out into the community? You know, the story is shared a little bit in the scriptures about Aquila and Priscilla. And Aquila and Priscilla received Paul into their household, it seems like. And they were helpers in terms of Paul. They encouraged him on. They were there working in terms of that. And they were a team in terms of helping the gospel go forward. Because they had opened up their lives to God's purpose and plans for them. And I don't know what all God wants to do with your family or with you as a couple. But are you willing to open up yourselves for God's purpose and plans? As I look out here on the audience, I realize there's some that have been down cooking at Bible school. And there's others that have gone and served and taught at Bible school. Or there's others that have left their children go teach somewhere. The list goes on. Is your family available for the mission program of God's kingdom? I ask the question. And then as I think of all of you, you've all had an opportunity to show hospitality to someone. And you've done a great job for us this week. We thank you. We appreciate your kindness in that way. Showing hospitality. You know, the Shunammite woman would not have had to make that room for Elijah to be there, but she chose to do that. She was that kind of woman. She was thinking about the needs of the prophet. And so she reached out and suggested to her husband, hey, can't we do this? And they made a room for the prophet to come dwell there with them as he passed through. And we go on in that story and we see, you know, there were some blessings that came to that home because of a prophet that stayed there, because they were willing to reach out initially. And it's that way again and again. No person, you know, what did I say? More empty than the man who is full of himself. But when you can get beyond yourselves, and you can think about the needs of others, and you can think about the needs of your family and the needs of your spouse, then the whole picture is reversed. No man is more happy than the man who reaches out to the needs of others. Yield yourselves to God's purpose and plan for your lives, in accepting God's plan for your family size. You know, Zacharias and Elizabeth could have been individuals that were bitter at God. They could have been. God had never blessed their home with children. And they could have been bitter against God, but instead, the scripture records them as serving God in an acceptable way. Their hearts were in it. They were men. They were a man and woman of God. And then God did bless them with John the Baptist. But you see, they had surrendered themselves to God's purpose and plans for their lives, even if it was plans and purposes that they didn't really appreciate. They had accepted it. They realized God was sovereign, and they accepted it. And I like to say, in terms of yielding yourselves to God's purpose and plan for your lives, you need to courageously following godly principles in spite of society's pressures. I say we need to courageously follow godly principles in spite of society's pressures. Amram and Jochebed lived in a society where the Pharaoh said, "Throw your children in the water. Throw your children in the water." Did they do that? No. They submitted in a small way by putting in a basket. They saw better than what the king said. They saw better. And there are many things that could be said in terms of these godly principles in spite of society's pressures. Society is pressuring the home today. It's pressuring us in terms of taking time. You know, just in a busy, busy society, and everybody runs hither and yonder, and there's no family time. Many, many things that pressure us as I think of society and what it does, what it can do to our homes. Well, these are just 7 points. But I dare say that if you put these 7 points to practice, there'll be harmony in your home. Humility is so important. Humility is so important. And a reaching out and being willing to, yes, say I'm sorry. May God bless you as couples today. May God bless your homes, that there can be some godly fruit from our lives that can go on and bless the generations to come. I'd like to kneel for prayer.